Today is our last message of our voice recognition series. So I'm going to attempt to try and wrap up what we've been studying over these last weeks. And it's a sermon this morning is entitled, I Want to Hear, 'Cause. Man, do you ever get a sermon title and go, where was I when they chose the 'cause? But that's what Marlo chose, so I'm going to stick with it. I want to hear 'cause I know he's speaking. Just while you're turning there, sometimes I get a bad reputation because apparently I'm sometimes hard on Edmonton sports fans. So as an olive branch, I would like to congratulate, after years of futility, the Edmonton Eskimos on making the playoffs and having a home playoff date. Congratulations, gentlemen. Second place isn't bad. 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3, and we're going to start in verse 1. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was laying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." But Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." So he went and laid down. Again the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and laid down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling, as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Will you join me just in a word of prayer? God, very simply, our hearts right now, our desire is to hear you. So, Lord, whether it's through my voice and the words that you've put on my heart, or, God, you just speaking directly to us, together may our heart's posture be, "Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening." Thank you that you are here. Open our ears. Open our hearts to be able to hear you today, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Today I want to focus on the response of Samuel. We're going to bounce around a little bit today. But speak, for your servant is listening. My question today is, how can we get to the point of being fully prepared and committed to the Holy Spirit's whisper and direction? I'm getting a lot of echo here. I'm just going to switch mics, okay? Once again, this is where you don't stare back. Here we go. It's not Gary's fault. I got big ears. How can we get to that point of having that response, "Lord, speak, for your servant is listening"? How can we get to the point of being fully prepared and committed to the Holy Spirit's whisper and direction? We have just spent weeks talking about how to recognize God's voice. Today, I hope that both you and myself are open to the fact that today, as in this morning, as in right here together, that God is wanting to speak and is speaking. How do we come to that point of understanding, of hearing God's voice, and responding like Samuel, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening"?
There's a few things I want us to quickly do together. And I'm going to tell you right now, we're going to have a time together at the end of the message this morning of just spending time to hear God's voice. Sometimes when we talk about hearing God's voice, we either make it so impractical, as in God's this mystical being that, you know, you can't ever really actually hear. We make it so impractical, or we so oversimplify it. And God is simple, but we so dumb it down that we actually make it so that God actually doesn't really speak. But God does speak. And he is speaking to you. So how do we get our hearts open to be able to hear him? The first thing we need to do is we need to know that God is speaking. Throughout scriptures, we see examples of God as he spoke to his people. Even from the very beginning of creation, Adam and Eve, they walked with God in the garden. They spoke with him and heard his voice. Abraham received promises from God. Jacob heard the whisper of God. Moses heard the voice of God through a burning bush. Balaam was spoken to by the voice coming from a donkey. There was Gideon, Samson, Samuel, as we just read, Jeremiah, Zechariah, Saul on the road to Damascus, and it goes on and on of times that God spoke directly to his people. We need to understand that God is currently speaking. We need to understand the nature of our God. For those of you who are familiar with theology, we talk about in the Christian church, we talk about the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. At the very heart of God is communion, relationship. It is the core of his personhood. It is an innate value of who God is, and it is what he desires. This desire can be seen even in his very own person, that it's Father, Son, Spirit in relationship. His desire for us is to have relationship with us. Do not try to academically dumb that down. Do not try and convince yourself that relationship with God is you simply hearing someone speak on a Sunday morning and maybe doing what they say. That's not a relationship with God. His innate essence of being who God is makes it that what he desires is relationship with you. For you to know him and him to know you. Hebrews 13:8 tells us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That God has not changed. And so the God that we see speaking to his people, desiring relationship in Scripture, is the same God that is present right here with us now. In fact, if anything, sometimes we say, well, that's how God did things then, but he doesn't do that now. If anything, Scripture tells us he speaks even clearer today. Hebrews chapter 1 says this: in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets and at many times in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. God's desire, more than anything else, far vastly more than what you do, is that you would know him as he knows you. Some of you are somewhat familiar with my story of of my testimony of coming to know the Lord. I grew up in a Christian home. My parents were pastors of a large church out on the coast in BC. So I was at church at least three times a week, if not four or five or six. I grew up in the pew, as they say. I was always involved in church. My mom led me in the sinner's prayer, and I asked Jesus to come into my life at the age of three by my bed. And I do believe that Jesus entered into my life, and I did know I wanted to have him. I knew about him. But as I share with people, as I was a youth pastor for 10 years, as I often talked to teens, I told them that I really did believe in God. But on the same hand, I look at the most pivotal point in my life was not when I was 3 years old. See, I grew up going to Sunday school. I grew up being in church. And I heard about God. I heard about Jesus every week, multiple times a week. I sat at home at the supper table and we would pull the Bible out and we'd read the Bible and I'd hear about God. I knew so much about God. But I didn't know him. If you asked me about who God was, I could tell you what I had heard in a sermon. I could tell you what I heard in Sunday school. But I didn't know him. See, if you ask me about my favorite hockey player, I can tell you all his stats. I can tell you his height, his weight. I can tell you where he grew up. I can tell you what teams he played for. I can tell you some of the hobbies that they list on his Wikipedia page. Obviously, I need a life. I can tell you all of these facts about him. But can I tell you what keeps him up at night and makes him so he can't sleep? Can I tell you what makes his heart leap for joy and gives him the greatest amount of satisfaction in life? Can I tell you his deepest dreams, hopes, fears? No. Because I don't know him. I know about him, but I don't know him. Sometimes we are willing to settle for less than what we are actually called to be and what God is actually willing to give to us. God is willing to give you more than just a religion that lets you know about him. He wants you to know him. I knew all about God, but I didn't know him. And it wasn't until I went to a camp, a junior teen camp, at the age of 11. And for the first time in my life, I heard the voice of God. I'm not any more spiritual than anybody else. Believe me, if you know me and if you knew me, you would know that. That was a lot of news and no's. I went to this camp because that's where my friends were going, and that was the cool thing to do. And I think I've shared part of this story before, but there was a lady who was preaching, and it was, I think it was Thursday night, was preaching and talking about something. I was an 11-year-old boy. Like I was actually paying attention. We had pen and paper, and SOS is an incredibly fun game. And we were fooling around, and I cannot tell you one point from her message. I think I shared this before, but she invited everybody up for prayer, for those who would want prayer to receive the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I wasn't really going to go up, but there was a girl that I thought was really cute, and she went up for prayer. So being extra spiritual, I decided I should pray for her. She needed me. And so I went up, and of course, I went up to pray with her, and I was there about 2 minutes before this lady put her hand on my shoulders and asked if she could pray for me. And so she began to pray. And I, to this day, I couldn't tell you what she said. You're starting to get a picture of how good I pay attention sometimes. I can't tell you what she said. But I can tell you that for the first time in my life, I heard the voice of God. She started praying, and suddenly something just began to well up inside of me. It wasn't a voice that I heard that was in the distance. It wasn't a voice like if you spoke to me across the hallway. And this may sound foreign to you, and maybe perhaps some of you have had this experience before, but the way God spoke to me is it wasn't with an audible sound that I could hear with my ears. But it was literally the best way I can describe it. It was like there was a voice right in here. And instead of information coming in here and going to here and then going around, it was like it came right from here and right up. It wasn't an emotion. It wasn't a feeling. But it was a voice that came right from here. For a kid who had struggled with immense issues with self-image, felt completely worthless. My life was lived to try and please others, because if others would like me, then they would treat me nice and then I would be okay. I'd be acceptable. I came from an extremely loving home, wonderful parents, siblings, but a good home. No. But I was never, ever fully satisfied, never felt comfortable with who I was. Corinthians, when it talks about love, Paul talks about all these gifts that we can have. We can have prophecy, all these different gifts that we can receive. But he says this to link them all together. He says, but without love, I am like a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Without love, I am like a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. I don't know if you've ever heard a clanging cymbal solo or a gong solo, but it's not beautiful. Those aren't instruments that are played outside of an entire symphony. I played them in band, trust me. What he's saying is without love, none of those things matter. Without love, truthfully, I become an annoyance in my own life. Because without love, I'm just repeating over and over again, trying all these different things, but ending up with the same emptiness. And people can say words to me over and over again, but without actually knowing and experiencing love, it doesn't matter. I had parents who told me they loved me over and over again. I had grandparents who told me that they loved me and thought I was the most special child. It wasn't a case where I was a child who was abandoned, a kid who wasn't treated well. But I believe that within each of us, there is that capacity and that need and desire to have a relationship with God. And if you don't, you are constantly going to be seeking to fill that emptiness. Because there's nothing that fills it. There's things that we try, but there's nothing that fills it. Perhaps some of you can resonate with that. Where you have ups and downs, where it seems like maybe it's through relationships or through buying stuff or through achieving goals, that you get that temporary sense of, okay, I think I mean something now. I think I'm okay. And then it just comes right undone again. Because without love, true love, the love of the Father for you, the love of the only one who gave his only Son for you, I am a resounding gong. I am a clanging cymbal. So I sat there with this lady praying something. Suddenly I just felt from within me these words that repeated over and over. Joel, I love you. I love you. I love you. Words that I had heard people who were pivotal in my life share with me before, but I had never felt, never really felt that until that moment, until God spoke those words into my heart. It was the absolute changing point of my life. Even still to this day, as a grown man, I look to that evening where I followed a girl up for prayer at 11 years old as the absolute changing point in my life. We need to know that God speaks and he speaks for real. With that, we need to know how God speaks. There's a video clip that we're going to play in just a second. And I wouldn't focus so much on the video, but listen to the words that are expressed. This is from a movie, probably some of you saw, I was out going back a few years now, called August Rush. And it was a young child prodigy who is just a natural music prodigy and heard music everywhere he went and had this amazing gift. But I just want you to just listen to the words that he speaks. Go ahead.
Listen. Can you hear it? The music. I can hear it everywhere. In the wind. In the air, in the light, it's all around us. All you have to do is open yourself up. All you have to do is listen.
How does God speak? Some of this is going to be reviewed from some of the weeks that we've had together and what we've looked at, but I want to look quickly at five ways that God speaks this morning. The first is we see that God speaks through his word. And we spoke about this quite at length in our series, but so pivotal and so important that God speaks through his written word. That Bible that you carry with you carries the words of life. But I want to point out something specifically. Sometimes we treat the Bible as if it's like a high school textbook. It's not just simply something that anybody can just read and God's spoken. But rather, the power of God's word comes as he illuminates his word through the Holy Spirit in us. The power of God's word is when his Holy Spirit reveals his word in us. That we don't just simply read it like a document that's to be memorized for a test. There are leading scholars in the world today, leading theological scholars that are actually not Christ followers. They treat the Bible as if it's a historical document, and so they can tell you verse and chapter for anything that you want, but there's no power in the word that's come in them because they have not received the illumination of the Holy Spirit bringing the word of God to life in their spirit. I know so many Christ followers who struggle with doing devotions, but oftentimes as I've worked with them, as we've started to develop that habit in their life, it constantly comes down to that point where they treat the Bible like it's just a textbook. It is so much more than that. Our attitude as we approach Scripture is, God, would you reveal your word? Would you bring it to life in my spirit? More than just, I read this, God, can you make this applicable for my life? What are you trying to say to me? What are you telling me through your word? So the first way God speaks is the illumination of his written word. Secondly, we see in Scripture that God speaks through creation. If we can just show that next slide there. Psalms 19:1-3, just as you see those pictures, says, the skies proclaim the works of his hands. Romans 1:20 says this, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. Essentially, what he's saying there is, you can't say that God's never revealed himself. God's never left a sign for me that he's there. He says, look at creation itself. It shows the handiwork of God. If you ever go to the mountains, you go hiking up top and you see that view, how can you not believe that there's a God? Some people find unique beauty in different scenarios. And I know so many people, that's their, like my wife, Carrie, the mountains is her paradise. It's her oasis. And she just loves it because to her, God just speaks to her through that part of creation. I grew up around the mountains, and I'm so awed because I love the prairies. To me, God speaks to me through the prairies as you have a beautiful wheat field blowing in the wind. And more than that, you just look up to the skies and you see the clouds or you see the stars. God's creation speaks to us because he made it. He made it for us. And it gives testimony of him. You can learn about God. You can learn about who he is by observing creation. Number three, God speaks through his people, through prophecy, as was preached a couple weeks ago. Again, some of these, because we've already spoke at them at length, I'm not gonna dwell on them, not because they're any less important, because I know we've already spoken about these, but God speaks through his people, through prophetic words. Number four, this is the one that we often, or at least for me, I get fixated on. But God does speak in an audible voice. We just read this in 1 Samuel chapter 3, as God spoke to Samuel. Samuel didn't know it was God. See, it took wise Eli to finally recognize it's God that's speaking to this young man. He heard this audible voice, but he didn't know that it was God who was speaking. We see in Exodus, we see Moses speaking as God spoke to him through the burning bush. God does indeed, even today, speak in an audible voice. But I want to just stress here, this is one way God speaks. And as I look through Scripture, from my observation of Scripture, when God speaks in an audible voice, there's a specific reason why he speaks in an audible voice. He talks to Moses through the burning bush. That's because Moses was called to go back to Egypt, where he'd ran away from because he had murdered someone, to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt, something he knew that Pharaoh would never let happen. A man with a stutter who didn't like to be in front of people was going to lead an entire nation. He needed a pretty powerful sign. If God speaks to you in an audible voice, from my experience, it's because there's something pretty intense that he's calling you to do. And he knows you need that to do it. But God does speak in an audible voice. Finally, the fifth way that I see God speak is as 1 Kings speaks of that still, small voice. Going back to my own story, this is how God spoke to me, was that still, small voice. It wasn't an audible, it wasn't an out there sound. No one else heard what God spoke to me, but it came from within. It was his Holy Spirit in me speaking to me. In 1 Samuel, as we see God's voice speak to Samuel, if you refer back, it says that Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Samuel served in the temple. He helped Eli, the head priest. He knew all about God. At this point, he would have spent time studying the scriptures already. But he did not yet know the Lord. I can't help but wonder if there are some of you who are exactly where I was, where you know a lot about God. And even as we've had this series on voice recognition, knowing the voice of God, you still convinced yourself that not actually personally hearing God is an acceptable place to be at, that you've got enough to get by. Please don't hear me wrong this morning. My heart is not in any way to condemn you or to make you feel like you're lesser than. Rather, my heart is sincere in compassion and desire that God has more for you than that. He has more than that for you. His desire is not that you simply know about him. He honestly, sincerely wants you to know him and makes himself available to you. So we need to know God speaks. We need to know how God speaks. And finally, we need to know where God speaks. This one's pretty simple. God can speak at any place, at any time, because he is always present. However, from my personal experience and my personal journey, more times than not, God often speaks in the quiet and in the still. Psalms 46:10 says this, "Be still and know that I am God." Be still. To be still is not to be inactive. To be still is not simply being lazy or doing nothing, but rather being still is the activeness. It is an act to be still and know I am God. This is the opinion of just a pastor. I have no stats to back this up. I have no pie charts to be able to put up on the screen for you. But just from my experience, my journey and working and locking alongside with others, I think more than anything else, it is our busyness that keeps us from hearing the voice of God. It is our lack of energy and desire putting into being still that keeps us from hearing the voice of God. Because the very concept of being still drives some of us batty. Because the truth is that if we have not dealt with things in our own lives, if we have kept ourselves so busy that we've never had to really process and think, that when we are still, we get overwhelmed. Maybe it's overwhelmed with disappointments of relationships that have broken down. Or maybe it's overwhelmed from things we've never properly dealt with in our lives. And so we are almost fearful. The enemy has tricked us to be fearful of being still. But the very healing, the very innate, deep desires of fulfillment, of need for relationship, of need for love, come from being with the Father and being still. I asked Pastor Crystal if I could borrow some walkie-talkies this morning for an illustration. Unfortunately, I was kind of hoping for working walkie-talkies, but we'll work with it. How many of you have ever used one of these before? Wonderful. If it just so happens that any of you have a Cobra brand with a charger that you wouldn't mind lending to the church, I'll plug that in right now. When I was in college, we used these a lot, especially we always had multiple vans and we'd be driving around the prairies doing sports tournaments, and there's nothing more fun than talking on walkie-talkies, so we'd always bring these along. One of the things I learned about a walkie-talkie, if you've ever taken these out, in order to have the other person hear you, you make sure that you're on the right channel. That's the first step. Otherwise, that doesn't really work. So when we come to the Lord, we make sure that we're on the right channel. God, we're not praying to Buddha. We're not praying to Allah. But if we are a believer in Christ, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. So there's only one channel. So we don't try and do multiples. You get to choose one. So we get on the right channel to start with. And then this is the thing that I actually find the trickiest. If you've ever used these, you know that lots of times you only get partial messages. You got to hold down the button in order for the other person to hear. So you hold your button. Chad, how's it going? And then I would have to let go of the button, and then Chad could tell me, good. Which, thanks, that's a great description. I'm great, thanks. In order to go back and forth, you hold the button when you want to talk, and then you let go of the button, and the other person hits theirs and is able to talk back. I know this is really complicated, but are we all following? Okay. See, God actually used this illustration to challenge my own heart a few years ago. Because I was upset at God because I felt like he'd just gone quiet. You see, what I had done is I was so busy at trying to get God to talk to me that I held down my button and I just kept going, God, I just want to hear you. What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? Okay, God, what do you want me to do? The whole time holding on to my button. And it wasn't a case where God wasn't answering. Essentially saying, you got to let go of the button and listen. You you may struggle maybe where I struggle. Where I struggle in my prayer life is not actually talking to God. That's actually something I'm pretty good at. But I really struggle at remembering to let go and listen. Because there's something about letting go and listening that I find difficult. I would rather be able just to do, and even if it was, Joe, I want you to do all this work, and then I'll talk, great. To let go and listen. I think our very culture has taught us that this is somehow not an exercise that's beneficial. But I think it's the most pivotal. I think more important than God hearing our words is us hearing His. And so this morning, that's what I want us to do for a bit. I'm gonna have us do something a little different, just as an exercise. You can remain where you are, or if you're a person who gets distracted really easily by the people beside you, that I'm going to give you full freedom in about 30 seconds to find anywhere in the gym to sit in. If you want to bring a chair with you, if you want to sit on the floor, whatever you want to do. But what we are going to do is this, is I want you to have a Bible. There are going to be ushers walking around with extra Bibles in case you don't have one. We're going to have about a minute and a half of a little bit noisy chaos. For those who want to move, they'll be able to move. And then what we're going to do is we're going to spend just about 5 minutes. And this is what I want us to do. If you have your Bible, you can open up and read a verse. I don't want you reading through and trying to see how much you can read. Because that's not what this is about. Rather, this is us listening. And to come with that response that Samuel came with. Lord, your servant is listening. And just to give a few minutes. Just to focus your hearts. If you want, it can be helpful to have just a verse to read and then say, God, what do you want to say to me through this? Or maybe you just, God, I'm just open. I just want to hear you. We're going to have a little bit of worship music in the back. Just really, really light. We're going to do this for about 5 minutes. And then I'm going to come and we're going to close the service. Okay? So in about 10 seconds, we're going to have a minute of chaos for those who want to move. I want you to move right away. If you know you're a person, I'm that way. I get distracted really easy. So sometimes this is a moment for me and God. So if you're a person who gets distracted and you want a little more space, the other person won't take it insultingly. You're not trying to get away from them. Just trying to be able to focus, okay? So 1 minute, move around, and then we're going to start. So go ahead. If you want to just shuffle a little bit, move a few seats. If you want to sit in a corner, if you want to go wherever you want to go. If you're comfortable where you're at, you're more than free to stay there.
To me, you weary one, and I will get
simply your prayer, all I want is, God, your servant is listening, whatever you want to say. If you'd like a Bible, you can put up your hand. There'll be an usher who will bring one to you. Okay? If not, we can all just 5 minutes.
You are all my heart longs for, the treasure and the hunger. I've tasted and I must have more of your presence, God.
Just want to take a minute. I believe that the gospel is practical. That living a life for Jesus is something that's practical and able to be tangible to live out. So if you'll give me just a minute here. How many of you found the 5 minutes really difficult? Yeah, that's fair. How many were surprised how quick 5 minutes actually went? Thought it would be more difficult. Yeah. Some of you, did you find that as you were trying to pray, you just had like 1,000 things come to your mind and you kept on thinking of stuff you had to do or jobs or people that just kept, were those issues for some people? Yeah. Okay. So these are all normal things. So we practice being aware of the presence of God. It's like anything else. We develop the ability to be able to better hear, better come into that point of hearing God. If you found that your thoughts were cluttered, don't be discouraged, because that's quite normal, especially if this isn't something you do on a regular basis. And what you will find is if you make this a pattern in your life, that you better learn how to give those. We use that expression, you give it to God. Sometimes I find that expression frustrating. It's like, how do I give it to God? As it comes to mind, whether it's if it's a person or a situation, God, right now, I know I can't fix this. So at this exact moment, I'm giving this to you. I'm giving this person that you know is on my heart heavy, or I'm giving this situation. I want to trust you, and I just ask, can I give that to you right now? Can you take that? And I just want to remain open to what you want to say. What we did right here, this essentially is a practical example of what a devotional life is. See, a devotional life is not about reading a chapter a day or 3 chapters a day or whatever. It's not about a task. It's about taking time out of our day and focusing on God and being open and asking him to speak to us. It's about spending time with him. Were there any of you that felt really a sense of peace just come to your heart over those few minutes? Was there anybody who experienced that? Yeah. I believe that's what happens when we make room for God. We know that he is speaking to us more than anything else. We begin to sense that inner peace in our heart when God speaks. is the peace of God. Not maybe where we have answers, but where we have that peace. Can I encourage you? This is something practical for every day. If you're a person who's maybe tried the devotional thing and it didn't work, or you've never tried doing a daily time with God, can you use this as a template? If you're like me, sometimes it's hard to get a place where it's completely quiet. So finding a place where you can have on your own, and maybe if it's a kid's case where like kids are screaming downstairs and you know you're going to hear that and it's going to be distracting, put some music on, just some white noise. But just to be able to have that time where it's, God, I'm here. Maybe it's reading a verse, a couple verses. God, what are you wanting to say to me? And as things come up in your heart, as there are situations or just requests, things from your life that you're going, oh, I don't know what to do. And it just is in your mind, God, I want this time to be with you. Can I give you Karen? Can I give you Joyce? Can I give you Dawn? Can I give you whoever? Can I give that to you? And I just want to be here with you. And I think what you'll find is each time you'll learn more, you develop that ability just to be with God. And you begin to unclutter what's been built inside. And if you've never had that time where it's just you and God, there's so much clutter in there that needs to be decluttered in the closet. But just to do that, can I encourage you to take that up? To try that this week. Don't make it, I'm going to read umpteen chapters, or I'm going to do 45 minutes in the morning, 45 minutes in the afternoon. Can you take 10 minutes? 10 minutes in a room. Even parents, you can swap back and forth. 10 minutes by yourself. Just to have that time. Because what God desires more than anything else is to know you and for you to know him. This is the heart of God. This right here. That he loves you and he wants you to know him. Let me tell you, a life knowing God is so incredible. So, so much more powerful, fulfilling, encouraging, life-giving than a life of just knowing about God. And I know that his desire for you is to know him. So just as I close this morning, I'm just going to ask if you'll pray with me and we'll close the service. If you'll stand with me. Heavenly Father, thank you that you love us so much. And your desire is to know us. God, your heart for us is good. It is love. And I just pray, even as we just had this time, maybe it seems simple. Maybe for some it seems too simple. Lord, for some, maybe this was an encouraging moment. I pray that, God, this would just encourage them in that taking time, help them to develop, help us to develop that daily time with you. For those of us who found this frustrating because we just couldn't even get to that point, we just constantly had things, had a hard time focusing and even concentrating on hearing you. God, I pray that you would help them from being so discouraged that they don't make this a regular practice, but help them as they make this something a part of their life, that they learn how to declutter some of the stuff that's been in their heart that's caused so much of the heaviness and so much of the burden that they haven't even noticed. They haven't even recognized. Lord, would you help them just in doing that? And I pray for each one of us. God, would you build a hunger in our hearts to hear you, to not just know about you. We don't want to settle for that. But God, we want to know you. So I pray for each one that that would be something intimately that they do. And through this week, for those of us who, I'm not going to dwell on it, but who in our hearts, we know that that's something we need. Would you help us this week to daily carve out that time? Help us to be disciplined even as we go home to write that down and have each day have 10 minutes. And I pray as we seek you, God, for those who seek you, may they find you. I know that's your promise. So thank you. Thank you for this church and for the coffee time we're about to have. For those who will be a part of the newcomers lunch, we just pray our fellowship would be honoring to you. Be with each one as they go, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.